Have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to continue our study in the book. This morning, we're going to be talking about being subject in the fear of Christ. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Oh, the book of Ephesians is rich. I hope you see the richness of it. Because of what Jesus has done for us, you and I should be more thankful. There should be more joy flowing through us simply because of what God did for us through Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, he speaks, "So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Did you know it's foolish not to understand the will of the Lord? And I want to say one side note real quick. Oh, time's gone. Where'd it go? Sorry. It caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. But it's foolish to not understand what the will of the Lord is. And a side note I want to add to that, if you're a person searching for the will of the Lord, thinking that God has something special for you, you've missed it. The will of the Lord is understandable. The will of the Lord can be gained if we would be a people that seek the will of the Lord. He can be understood. He wants what He wants. We're going to see one of the things this morning. But I'll tell you, foolish people don't understand the will of the Lord. They're killing their own selves. And one of the things that He wants us to understand in His will, He brings about in verse 18. He says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." You know what the Lord's trying to do for us? Fill us with His Spirit. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, that's not anything that comes over you. You're not going to feel. You're not going to sense. To be filled with the Spirit is not like a container that's empty and you're filling something up. It has nothing to do with any of that. To be filled with the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to influence your life, your thinking. It's the idea of letting Him lead. And so if you and I are going to let the Spirit lead, there are certain things that we need to understand in the will of the Lord, what He wants us doing. Now, we covered this in the last lesson, when we covered verses 15 through 21. But I want you to look down in verse 21 with me as he ended this section. He says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." This is a way that you are filled with the Spirit. You need to be subject. Be in subjection to one another. We need to learn what that means. When we talk about being subject, he's going to bring up three avenues of life, and he wants us to look at, and we'll look at those over the next couple, two or three weeks. But he begins with wives and husbands. He goes into parents and children and master slaves. This is what it means to be subject to one another. And he will discuss that. You look at that term, subject. Be subject to one another. Some versions say submission. When we talk about being subject, we're talking about a military term. It's the idea of God coming along and God saying, "I want you to get in line. This is how it works." So in that military term, line up. And when we're lining up in subjection, it carries also the idea of lining up with authority. And so when we talk about lining up with authority, notice in verse 21, he says, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." There's the reason. You're subject to one another because of the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the authority. excuse me, He's the one that asks us to do that. Now, let me ask you a question. What happens when anyone rebels against authority? You know, I grew up and I was a rebellious man, child. When anyone rebels, what begins to fill you? Well, hate. You get filled with discontent, anger, rebellion. These things begin to fill you. How much are those a part of Jesus? Think about it. Boy, we don't like authority. We don't like somebody to tell us what to do. And we instantly burr our back. You know what? You better have some fear of the Lord, because if you're not going to be subject to the authority, you're not going to get in line, you got some major problems. Because none of those things of hate and discontent and rebellion, those aren't part of Jesus. Those aren't part of His world. Never have been a part of His world. You know what Jesus' qualities are? One place we see it well is in Matthew 11:29, where He says, I'm gentle and I'm humble in spirit, and humble in heart. Lowliness, humility. These are the qualities of Jesus. He didn't rebel. He wasn't that away. And so if you and I will reverence Christ, if we have any respect for who our Lord is because of what He does for us, what does He do? Ask us to do? Be subject to one another in fear of Me, in reverence of who I am. Well, that leads us to this question. What does it take to be in subjection? One thing. You must surrender your will to Jesus. And isn't that what happened when we came to be immersed into Christ? Didn't we realize that we were in our sins and separated and we're doomed? And as we came to be immersed into Christ Jesus for that forgiveness, we were submitting ourselves under His subjecting authority. Your Lord, we recognize that. And if you don't submit your will to the Lord, you're not going to make it. There's not going to be any filling of the Spirit into your life, and you're going to be foolish because you don't understand the will of God. And so the first area of being in subjection to one another, look on down with me at verse 22. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. You know, we're sitting among us this morning and we've got people that aren't married. We've got young people. You know what? They need to pay attention to this because they need to understand the will of the Lord for the day that they become married. Well, and the first thing He wants us to do is what? Wives, be subject to your own husbands. To what degree is a wife to be subject to her own husband? What does He say? To what degree? As to the Lord. We're not speaking of the world out here. We're not speaking about everybody who's rebelling out there. He's speaking to His children. A child of God, if it's a wife, she'll be subject to her husband because of Jesus. That's the degree that she'll do that. We're children of God. You know, one thing the book of Ephesians has told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, He said, you need to walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, He tells us, to be imitators of God as beloved children. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, He tells us that you and I are to walk as children of light. We're not darkness anymore.
And then back down in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, He tells us what? I want you to be filled with My Spirit. And you want to learn how to do that? Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now wives, here's the tendency sometimes. Sometimes wives evaluate their husbands. A lot of times wives do that. And you know, you may be living with a husband and you say, man, my husband's just a low-down scoundrel. Well, he may be. That could be a true statement. But you know what the focus isn't? Don't evaluate your husband. Evaluate the Lord. This is what the Lord expects from me. And when you and I can evaluate our lives in light of who the Lord is, it frees you to be able to do what the Lord asks you to do. You know, you get back to places like 1 Samuel 25 and you look at the lady Abigail, and she had a husband, Nabal. And you know what he was? He was evil. They called him evil. He was harsh. And worthless. This is her husband. And you know what she did? She looked to the Lord instead of to her husband. And she even admitted to David the king, my husband's worthless, I know that. But let me tell you about the Lord in this deal. You and I need to learn how to evaluate things. And we evaluate everything like a wife as to the Lord. As to the Lord. As to the Lord be subject. I want you to do that for My sake, the Lord says. Well, look at, and we continue to go. Well, quick thought. Wives, you can't control your husband's attitudes. You can't control his actions. But you know what you can do? You can control yours. You can do things for the Lord's sake. Despite what kind of scoundrel that husband's being, despite how unloving and uncaring he may seem, your Lord's not that way. I want you to be filled with Spirit. Be subject to one another in fear of Christ. So wives, the first place I want you to do is I want you to be subject to your own husband. That's what we call for. Continue on as we go on 23. Now you may think this is going to take some time to get through, but it's not. We're going to pick up the pace greatly here. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. Who is the husband? Who is He? Let's evaluate Him then. He's the head. He's the head of the wife. Now that's not preacher talk. This is to fear the Lord. This is what the Lord brought about when He told people to be in subjection. He says, guess what the husband is? He's the head, and if you don't like it and you want to change it, then you have to walk away from Jesus. Mark it down. We can't change that. The husband is the head of the wife. That's what He says. But to what degree? For the husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. Now I want to take a quick point. Because from the rest of this time, men, husbands, the Lord is speaking to you. There are more expectations from the Lord to the husband than ever been given to the wife. He simply asked the wife to be in subjection to her husband as to the Lord, because God put the husband as the head of the home, as the head of that house. For what reason?
Just as Christ, he says, is the head of the church. And he says what? The Savior of the body. This should concern all husbands. If you're the head, and you are, Christ made you that, then you better be concerned about who Jesus is in relationship to His bride, the church. Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. You know what, husbands, you better start doing right now? You better be concerned about making sure you help your wife stay saved. That's the issue. And so Christ looked out. He's the Savior of the body, the church. Then husbands, you better start looking out for the best interest of that wife of yours. She's doing her part being in subjection. She's given the Spirit the avenue to fill her. You better watch out for her soul, and you better take care of that. Verse 24, back to the wife. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own, to their husband in everything. As the church is subject to Christ, so should the wife be to her husband. Now, what if you read that verse, women, and you say, I don't like it. I don't like that verse. You begin to balk, you begin to question. Let me just point to you one thing. When Jesus began His ministry on earth, some of the most powerful statements that He makes found in Matthew 7:21, where He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. You know what the will of God is? It's foolish not to understand it. The will of God is just as the church is subject to Jesus, wives subject themselves to their husbands in everything too. Say why? He's defining roles here. You know, you want to be filled with the Spirit. You want the Spirit being influenced in you. You want help whenever things aren't going real well. Well, guess what? Here's the way to do it. Submit to the Lord. Live in fear of the Lord. Live as the Lord is in subjection to Him, and you get your place that He wants you to be, and guess what? It'll go well. It'll go well. Now, what if you don't like this verse? Maybe better look and find out you got a rebellious spirit. That's rebellion. Oh, Spirit's not going to help you in anything if you and I rebel in this. Hey, just as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Boy, He comes right back to the responsibility. Husbands, those of you who will be future husbands, you need to understand something. You need to love your wife. You need to sacrifice for your wife. You need to give yourself for your wife just as Christ. We need our husbands acting like Jesus. Jesus gave His life for the church. How far did Jesus go for all of us in here together? We've gathered as His church. How far did He go for all of us? And anybody in here this morning, is there anybody that doesn't need the blood of Christ? And are there those of us, are we people that are weak? Do we make mistakes? Do we stumble badly sometimes? And what does Christ do?
mercy, grace. Husbands, that's how I want you to love that wife of yours. I want you to sacrifice for her like I sacrificed for my church. That's what I want you to do. And he said, and he gave himself up. Well, a lot of times husbands aren't doing a very good job giving themselves up. Jesus gave himself up for me. And you and I, met when we mess up and we come to Jesus, you know what he's willing to do again? I'm going to give myself up for you so you can make it. Husbands, love your wife just like Christ. There's a huge responsibility on the shoulders of the husband in this deal. And you know what he's teaching? When he said, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, wives are being subject to their husband, recognizing he's the head because of Jesus, and husbands are being in subjection to their wife by loving them and giving themselves for her. Get in your place. Over the many years, I'll hear husbands complain about the wife not being submissive, and they'll gripe and they'll try to take these verses and they'll try to put her in her place. You know what? You better be concerned about being in your place. You better be concerned about what you need to be. You need to give yourself to your wife like Jesus gave himself to the church. You need to love her on that level. These are the things we need to talk about. We don't need to know about how to buy flowers and how to do this and, you know, do the nice things for our wives. Now, I'm not saying don't do nice things. But sometimes we get so earthly, so fleshly. This is the big stuff. He says, and husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless.
What is Jesus' concern? What was his aim in his death?
I want to bring my children to me in my body that's called the church, and I want to make sure that they end up being the best that they could possibly be in my presence. And so guess what he did? He sanctified you and me. You know, he made us spotless. He made us unblemished. He made us holy. Jesus, you know, made us blameless. And you know why he did all these things? To help us move forward to God. Then husbands, you better be helping your wife move forward to God. You better be sure that you're not causing problems for her, that's creating stumbling blocks for her, that's creating all sorts of problems for her. It's hard enough for all of us to hold to Jesus with all of our heart. And it's even more difficult if you got husbands that don't help their wife make it to heaven. If we don't have husbands that are concerned about their mate being holy and blameless and spotless so he can make a better place like Jesus did the church. Well, knowing that, we finding out real quick the husband has a great responsibility in this deal. And I want our husbands to know that. You've got a great responsibility. And you better concern yourself with her salvation. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 28. So the husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Now this isn't a selfish statement. Okay?
He's not telling the husband to be selfish. He's using an illustration, men, as the husband. How many of you husbands in here this morning want to deliberately hurt yourself? I mean, when you set out to go to your job today, if you're working on a project with a hammer, I'm going to lay my hand down and I'm going to smack it intentionally. I don't know of a husband, unless you're off in the head, that would be willing to do that. Well, you're sitting there and you're working with a saw on a project and, hey, I think I'm going to take that saw and I'm going to cut my legs off. Ain't no husband foolish enough to do that. And so, when he comes back to this, he said, you need to love your wife as you love your own body. You don't want to hurt you, then why in the world are you hurting her? Why are you not concerned about her spiritual well-being in all of this? Oh, you better give thought to that, husbands. Why would he make this statement? He who loves his own wife loves himself. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ also does the church. Just as Christ. No one hates their own flesh. Jesus didn't hate himself. He gave himself to better me and you. Husbands, you need to learn how to nourish and cherish your wife. When we talk about nourish, we're talking about feeding the things that's going to help her soul. Feeding her soul. Taking sure to make sure she stays blameless and holy and pure in the sight of God, and you're doing whatever you can to keep pointing her, to keep taking her up into salvation. That's what nourishment does. Too many times husbands are not nourishing the souls of their wives. And then he says, cherish. It's an interesting word that he uses here. Cherish is the idea of to soften someone with heat. Here's where it comes from. You know, you think of a storm coming. Here's birds in a nest. Maybe here's birds on the ground. You know what those birds do? They take those chicks and they bring them under their wings. And the storms rage and the lightning strikes or whatever may be coming in their way. And that mother takes the brunt of everything for the sake of whom? Those little chicks. That's the idea of cherish. You know what you need to do, husbands? Not only do you need to make sure you're feeding your wife the spiritual food that she needs to continue her walk in Jesus, but you also need to make her feel safe. You need to make sure that she's warm and safe with you. That's what softens her heart. That's what makes her pliable. And I'm telling you, that's what makes us pliable, church. Because Jesus, when I mess up, Jesus doesn't kick me out and say, hey, go have it your own, you're all by yourself. Jesus is trying to bring me in and shelter me and say, get back over here so I can help you. That's what Christ does to the church. And that's what husbands, unless you hate your own flesh. Now, if you hate, you're rebellious. You're rebellious to Jesus. No one ever hated their own flesh. They nourish and cherish just like Christ does to you and me, the church. Great responsibility. And he says in verse 30, because we are members of His body. I am so glad. I don't know about you. I hope this is the way you are. I am so glad that Jesus does not push me away when I sin accidentally, aren't you? Jesus doesn't hate us. He tries to protect and nourish because we're members of His body. And He cares for me and for you. Now, if a husband isn't doing this for his wife and watching over his wife and providing the things needed spiritually for his wife, something is wrong with that husband's heart. That husband's going to lose their soul in this deal. The Spirit of God can't help you in anything. He can't fill you. You're being a fool because you don't understand the will of the Lord. This is what He wants. It's expected from husbands. And then He comes with this verse in verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Here's the reality. All the way back in Genesis 2. When you left your mother and father and you had that woman that you're going to marry, you were joined together with her and you became one. Don't hate your body. Take care of your body. Nourish your body. Cherish your body. Because she's your body. And I'll tell you right now, everything, husbands, that you do to your wife, every inconsideration that you do to your wife, you are hurting yourself. But you know what He wants? I need you to be in subjection to one another. I need the wife to be in subjection to her husband as she is to the Lord. And isn't it kind of interesting? That's all He says about the wife. And now everything's on the husband. Just as Christ. That's who you husbands are, and you better take it seriously. Look at verse 32. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with the reference to Christ and the church. Whoa. You know what the mystery is? You know what all this is about? It's not about marriage. It's about the relationship of Jesus to His church, His body. And by the way, in teaching about the mystery of Christ and His body, you husbands and you wives fall into that same category so you can make the same application to yourself. This is what I want from you. This is where it goes. There are no yeah buts. This is just the way it is. And it's very interesting how we sometimes want to throw in a yeah but if my husband... Wait a second. Let's just simply listen. And let's follow. And let's be what Jesus is to His church. The wife is the church. The husband is Jesus Christ the Lord. And you look at that and you think, my, I got a ways to go. You know, I understand that. I'm working on it more and more all the time. I got a long ways to go. But I want to tell you this morning. I will do everything I can to make sure my wife stays on the best path spiritually. And I'm not going to cause her in any way to increase an opportunity for her to rebel. I don't want to do that. I hope you don't want to do that. Verse 33. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Boy, remember I mentioned Abigail a while ago? Evil, wicked fella. Worthless. But you know what she had? She had fear of the Lord. And she respected His role in her life. And that's what we need to do. Each individual among us, Husbands, you love that wife and you get her to heaven. You do everything you can to get her to heaven. And anything you do, that wife should see Christ in you. And wives, you be subject to your husband as to the Lord. You be subject in the fear of the Lord. It's the will of God. And we may have visitors sitting here this morning and they may hear a lesson like this and say, you people are nuts. Don't you know we've moved to modern times? The problem is the more modern we get, the further we move from God. This is the will of the Lord. Now, we can tear it out. We can tear it out of our Bibles. But it still doesn't change the will of God. It doesn't change it at all. You and I need to be humble. We need to take care of our wives. And wives, by being in subjection to your husband that Jesus asks, you're taking care of your husband. Think of that. Mutual. Mutual subjection. Helping people make it. Now I want to take next week. And I want to go ahead and go one step further in the side lesson onto this one. I want to talk to you about the idea of subjection, that military term. And I'm going to use 1 Peter and I'm going to show you it from there. But right now, for this moment, do the will of God. Do the will of God. It's foolish not to. And be subject in the fear of Christ. Do it for the sake of Jesus and no one else.